Blog Talk Radio.
Paging for you.
Topic.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. Y'all know what time it is. It's March and it's Madden.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
We are officially talking sports with the 12th man on this March the 20th day. And as Rob said, yes, the madness is definitely upon us. We are just excited because a lot of things happening. You know, obviously, we missed Gary last week. Gary, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the show. We were definitely giving you some shout-outs and showing you some love.
All right.
He is back. We got Gary back, and now JQ is not able to join us because he's got some pressing matters. It is all good, but we still got the crew here. We are still going to perform for you guys, and we're going to contribute to the madness that is March. We got a lot of topics to dive into, as we always have doing for the past couple of weeks. But without further ado, going to throw it around the horn and check in with everyone right now. Mr. Robert Ford, how are you feeling this evening?
Man, feeling great, man. You know, went out with colleagues tonight, Fogo the Child, so kept the green card up for a while. Got a lot of meat, got that asparagus, got some broccoli.
Wow.
And great times. And shout out to the greatest name in college basketball, Robert Ford III from Montana.
Oh, my God.
He put on the show tonight, even though they lost to Grambling. Robert Ford III, greatest name in college basketball.
I'm going to have to say God, she,
nice.
God for that one. But, you know, again, it's
I sent y'all that in the text. Y'all probably didn't realize what I sent you.
We saw, I didn't realize his name was Robert Ford III. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. Man. We're not going to crap on you too hard there. But
yeah,
he was the greatest.
Look at the picture.
He was the greatest. He would have won. He would have pulled it off, man. But go ahead.
I said it's the greatest name in college basketball.
The greatest name.
Montana State Bobcats over here. You know, it's all good, man. That's funny. Anyway, I appreciate that. If he would have really been the greatest name of all that, they would have won. Oh!
Yeah, I said he had the greatest name. I didn't say he was the greatest player.
Yeah, that's just the name, okay? Greatest name.
Oh, man. Gary, how you feeling this evening, sir? That was awesome. Good stuff, Rob.
I got a couple of things. Yeah, I'm doing great. Had a little RV trip. Had some good food down at Treasure Island, that area, you know, I'm just having a good time. You know, Rob and his wife, you know, they're this great power couple. You know, we met them for dinner a little while back.
Learned from you guys.
And they were on this program. They were really watching, you know, what they ate, and you know, they motivated. Didn't know it at the time, but they really motivated Arnetta and I. And so
wow.
Arnetta and I came home, and we started doing this. And I've lost 14 pounds, and Arnetta's
awesome.
Lost 9 so far. But we're just trying to follow in the footsteps of my brother who motivated me. Thank you, Rob.
Oh, man, that's
awesome.
Make sure
you tell
great
the wife,
job.
Too.
I will.
Another thing I got a new job.
Oh, man, congratulations.
I'm not making any money at it. You know, I saw a need in the area for people who just, you know, need some help with their yard work or pressure washing or anything. So... I've decided that I'm just going to go out, take my lawnmower, my trimmers, my blowers, pressure washer, whatever, and just fix up their yards for them. at no charge, just to help out. And
that's
so far
man.
I've done 4 yards like that and kind of catching on. So I'll do as many as I can. But it's been a lot of fun, very rewarding time for me. I appreciate it. I love it. Love their reaction when they come out and it's all done.
Yeah.
So, and I'm enjoying
it. It may not feel like you're getting paid, but you are getting paid for it. Trust
me. Absolutely.
Just in a different kind of way.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good stuff. Yeah, man, I think it keeps you active, I guess, and I guess you're semi-retired or feeling like you're retired, but it keeps you keeps you motivated for sure, I would say, right? Is that how it feels right now? Keeps you active and everything like that?
Oh, sure. You know, it's just you need to have purpose, you know, and if you're just sitting around or you're just, you know, if you need to be out doing something. And so this is, I saw a need. I saw one neighbor, she had this lawn, I mean, it was 2 feet tall, and she was trying to push through with some little push mower. And I just said, stop what you're doing, go in the house, I'm running to the store, I'll be back, I'll take care of it when I get back.
Oh, wow.
This is my yard. And I go, yeah, I'll take care of your yard. And so she says, okay. So she pushed her push mower in there, and I went and got my motor, you know, my lawnmower. It's a, you know, riding lawnmower, zero turn, you know, real nice mower. Went up there, edged it, mowed it, cleaned it all up. She was very happy with it. So that's how it started. And then it just kind of went from there. But yeah, loving it.
Good stuff, Gary. Story, man. So, man.
Yep, that's awesome.
Making us, that's
a great reward.
Yeah, so, yep, man. Excited. So, you know, again, I'm not sure how, you know, we're going to top Mr. Gary doing all these noble deeds or anything like that, too. We'll try to add a little something here with Blog Talk here, but really quickly, we're going to throw out some numbers. We're going to get this party started. We got a lot of things to dive into. The same numbers, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on X at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, Facebook.com/TalkingSports, 12 Man Sports. Looks like 20 minutes ago, Rob posted his another mock draft, so we're excited to see him continue to talk about that and just get some more exposure for the show, too. So this is mock draft 13.0, if you're following out there, America, too. So we're having some fun with that. So we'll talk about
more than male
some,
type.
Yeah. So
I think he's only done three so far.
Rob is always doing that, and it's always good to give a spotter for the show, too. So I'm sure we'll get a chance to go over that pretty early in the show, too, so stay tuned for that as well. So without further ado, let's kind of jump into the topic here. And, you know, interesting enough, Gary, you missed kind of a very, very interesting show last week. We talked about some dynamic moving pieces, and at this time, Justin Fields hadn't been signed, and then, you know, he actually got signed by the Steelers. There were some more things that came out during the week because, again, I didn't, you know, as a Falcon fan, I was like, man, how come we didn't get Justin Fields? I'm thinking, man, you know, this is, you know, he's from here. You know, why would they even kind of, like, kick the tires? And even after getting Kirk Cousins, I still thought he'd be a pretty good backup if he wanted to make that happen. But then I found out that Justin had some specific teams that he wanted to go to. So, needless to say, there's no word he didn't pick the Falcons. That's probably what I'm assuming. But that made me at least feel better that he kind of said, this is where I want to go. And he obviously lines up with the Steelers, JQ's favorite team. And the question out the gate is, will he eventually replace Russell Wilson, right? So, you know, again, there's been some words that Justin kind of idolized Russell. Right now, for the Steelers, this is a very interesting situation. So we'll kind of open up the floor because obviously he had that one-year deal with the great option with signing for that with getting released by the Broncos. And is it an opportunity, Rob, you think, for him to kind of, again, eventually replace Russell as the starting quarterback for the Steelers?
Well, I think if everything goes according to plan, I think for the Steelers, I think they look at Justin Fields as probably a long-term answer at quarterback right now, right? They're looking at Russ Wilson to come in to be the starter next year, see if he can be a mentor to Justin Fields. And maybe this is a good thing for Justin Fields because he came out and was a starter like right away for the Bears, right? And maybe this is an opportunity for him to sit back and learn and grow and develop. And I think they may even still have some packages for him. Even as a backup, right? Because he's so dynamic as a runner, right? And so I think there still could be some gadget plays, some packages for him to still contribute to this football team. And, I mean, hey, you got to give the Steelers a lot of credit, man. I mean, they only gave up a six-round pick for Justin Fields, and at worst it could turn into a fourth-rounder. And, I mean, you got to give them a lot of credit. Not only, I mean, I know Andre mentioned the Falcons, but, I mean, you got to be 20 teams in the league that got to regret not making that trade. But yeah, I mean, even if you look at him as a backup, I mean, he's like I said, he's still a dynamic talent, and to only have to give up the sixth, possibly a fourth round pick for him, I thought was a flat out steal for the Steelers. But yes, I think this year Russ Wilson. But you know they're going to have Justin Fields ready to play if anything happens to Russ. But I think he'll be the long-term starter for Steelers if all goes according to plan.
Well, that's their plan. But I wouldn't put it past them to, you know, really look at these two quarterbacks, you know, in preseason and in training and make their decision from there. Because if Justin Fields plays out of his mind with an organization like the Steelers, he may just be that starter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, look at it real hard.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, but they did tell Russ.
Way more mobile. You know, that's what I would look at. I'm sure they will.
Yep. But they did call Russ before they made the trade and say, hey, we see you as our starter. You know, well, at least for this season.
That's a couple things, and we'd love to welcome Naj to the show. Naj, welcome in. I'm sorry, I saw like this 111 number, and I had no idea what that was about, man, because normally I see your number clear as a 404, so I'm glad that you're able to join us, if you will. You won, Naj, right, my guy?
I'm not surprised, Dre. The liberal media has been trying to silence me today.
Oh, man. Welcome in.
What's going on?
I love how you come in firing, Naj. I mean, obviously we're missing JQ, so we've got to you kind of bring our fourth into here, and you come in right on time the first topic. And I know Naj has been a good sport. I've tried to add you to the chat, even though you said some malware. But you know, me and Naj pretty much text pretty regularly, and you know, you were the first person actually. Before Rob that broke this, because you were like, Justin's going to the Steelers, and I'm like, what? I didn't see it, right? And I was pissed. You're like, I got a sword. And then literally probably 5 minutes later, it popped in, Adam Scheffler, or the fake Sheffy, whatever. And Rob is on it. Rob is literally, every time moves happen, you know, same thing with the ESPN app, but Rob is always on there. So, you know, we added some things about this. Your thoughts about him becoming, do you think he's going to replace Russell Wilson as the starting QB for the Steelers, and we talked a little bit about the Falcons, but you can kind of add your thoughts as well, Naj.
Oh, yeah, thanks for letting me get in. And, yeah, man, you know, I have tremendous sources out here. Tremendous sources, the best is always delivered. So I had to use for everybody, the best first.
They're huge.
But, you know, they're huge, huge sources everywhere. But honestly, dude, I think, like, Tomlin is being really fair to Russell and saying, we're going to give you a legitimate shot at winning this starting job. Now, meanwhile, if he plays terribly, and those fans of Pittsburgh will let you know if you do, best believe Justin Fields will be warming up and ready to play. So, I mean, he's giving him a great opportunity, and I don't think he's trying to do anything shady with this, like Russ's situation in Denver was, where I think Peyton from day one was like, I got to get this guy off the books. It really didn't matter how he played. That relationship was going to be, you know, terrible. But I think he's got this situation here that's perfect for him. Now, will he perform enough to keep the job past week 8? I wouldn't bet on it.
That's what Gary was talking about too. That's crazy. Yeah, man. Again, so you know, that's an interesting drama. And I go back, gentlemen, because it's ironic that, you know, Arthur Smith is now the offensive coordinator, and you know how whatever you want to say, if he didn't think that he fit in Atlanta, it actually full circle. He's back in Atlanta, and Russell Wilson in that dynamic too. So, you know, again, just an interesting storyline to see how that plays out. You know, I think Arthur will be better because sometimes whenever you get fired and you kind of look at the landscape, maybe he's a better offensive coordinator than a head coach. But it's going to be an interesting story as well. And Pittsburgh is always good for having some mobile quarterbacks from the Cordell Stewart and Charlie Batches of the world, man. So it's interesting to kind of go back history-wise and see that. But Rob, as we make this transition, right, I guess, again, Chicago, we've had this huge, like, drama all offseason. Pretty much, you know, like, we know it's done. The Bears are drafting Caleb Williams, number one. We're going to go right into the mock draft, Rob. And, again, that's posted on the Talkin' Sports page. And let's talk about how this is. And there's an interesting situation at number two and kind of your thoughts about what we have having right now. So go ahead, my guy.
Yeah, and I'd like to apologize to our listeners and to our followers on Facebook. Last week I had a 6-round mock draft. This week I only did a 4-round mock draft. So I apologize.
You good.
We'll get back to the 6- and 7-round mocks here coming up. So, but this week I only got a 4-round mock for you. So I'll do what I normally do. We'll go over the top 10, and then I'll discuss our favorite teams here on the show. So as you said, Chicago, Caleb Williams, still the number one pick in the draft right now. Got him going to Chicago. Washington, it's sending a strong nucleus to USC's Pro Day, LSU's Pro Day, North Carolina Pro Day, and Michigan Pro Day. All four schools who presumably have the top four quarterbacks in the draft. So they're sending a strong nucleus to all four of those Pro Days here coming up. But I still have them taking Jaden Daniels, number two from LSU. Drake May, I still have him going to North Carolina at 3. And here we are. This is where the draft starts, number 4. I got Minnesota moving all the way up to number 4 to take J.J. McCarthy. They trade those 2 first-round picks to Arizona and another pick to Arizona to move all the way up to 4. They hit J.J. McCarthy here to 4 spots, which means if this happens, the top 4 picks in the draft will all be quarterbacks, which will be a blessing in disguise for the Chargers at 5, so they'll get Marvin Harrison Jr. to team him up with Justin Herbert, especially after they just lost Mike Williams and they traded Keenan Allen. So they're going to need some help at the receiver position. The New York Giants haven't had a weapon on the perimeter since the 80s when Phil Simms was the quarterback. Yeah, we have tactical birds, yeah.
So, I'm joking.
I got him taking Malik Neighbors, wide receiver from LSU. Oh, OBJ, yeah, I forgot about him. Malik Neighbors, wide receiver from LSU, going to the Giants at number 6. Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington, going to Tennessee. The interesting thing about Rome is that he had the most contested catches of any wide receiver in the country, even more so than Marvin Harrison. He had 21. Marvin Harrison had 13. And so, and you know, these windows are extremely tight in the NFL, so you expect your receivers to make some tight contested catches. And Rome had the most of any receiver in the country in college football last year. So I haven't gone Tennessee to number 7. Atlanta, I haven't taken Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Atlanta's offensive line is pretty good. But, you know, one thing I will give Sean Payton a lot of credit for, when Drew Brees was the quarterback, he constantly drafted offensive linemen, even when the line was good, because, you know, when you got a good quarterback, you want to protect them as much as possible. So you had about 8 guys who were capable of starting on the offensive line. And so here's an opportunity, much as I hate to say it, for the Falcons to even get better on the offensive line. Chicago got him taking Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama, at number 9. And the Jets got him taking Talib Suaga, a big offensive tackle from Oregon State. I mean, he's a beast, physical, strong. He got light on the feet. I'm sure Gary watched him a lot up there in Oregon. But, yeah, I got him going to the Jets, given Aaron Rodgers. Jets are quietly having a pretty strong offseason, and they get some more help there on the draft there. So look at our teams here. I got the Falcons really addressing the secondary in this draft. especially the way they ended the season last year. Kamari Lassiter, cornerback from Georgia in the second round, 5'11", 186 pounds. He had the best time in the combine for the three-cone drill. Started the last 2 years for Georgia, was really good on tape as well. And he's locally in Georgia from Savannah as well. And then in the third round, the Falcons have two third-round picks. Got him taking T.J. Tampa from Iowa State, another corner, 6'1", really good athlete, coming off a hamstring injury, didn't work out at the combine. And then Cam Kitchens, safety from Miami. At one point, he was considered the best safety in this draft. Really good on tape. He was really disappointing at the combine. He's 5'11", 203 pounds. He was tied for the slowest 40 time out of all safeties in the combine with a 4.65. That's why he dropped all the way to third round. He was considered to be a first-round draft pick at one point. And then in the fourth round, he got the Falcons taking offensive guard Leighton Robinson, 6'3", 302, 35-inch arm length from Texas A&M. The Cowboys, first round, I'm taking Chop Robinson, another edge-slash linebacker from Penn State in the Micah Parsons mode. I don't think he'd be good as Michael Parsons, but he's another freakish athlete, similar to Michael Parsons as well. You can move him around almost anywhere on the football field. Then in the second round, here's a guy that may sneak up into the first round, Braden Fisk, defensive tackle from Florida State. He's been lighting up in the combines, workouts, Senior Bowl. So defensive tackle from Florida State is real quick. So he'll be a guy to watch. And then in the third round for the Cowboys, that'll take him Kyron Emeagwali. He's an offensive tackle slash guard from Yale. Yep, Yale, the Ivy League.
Yale.
Of course, he's a smart football player coming from Yale, but he's also a tremendous athlete, really light on his feet for his size, and he's got that arm length that you look for, and he's a big offensive lineman. So he's got all the measurables and the smarts to go along with it. Then for my beloved Saints, in the first round, I got to take Troy Fatanu, offensive tackle slash guard from Washington. Saints desperately going to need some help on the offensive line. He can play multiple positions. Will probably be able to come in and start right away. He was one of the offensive linemen of the year in college football last year. In the second round, I got the Saints trading down and picking up a fourth-round pick, picking up Edgerrin Cooper, who might be the fastest linebacker in the draft from Texas A&M. And then with the fourth round extra pick they pick up, I got to take a Michael Pratt from Tulane, 6'3", 214 pounds, quarterback in that Taysom Hill mode, Taysom Hill getting old and, you know, get an opportunity to develop a quarterback possibly as a backup for the future as well as maybe using for some of those gadget plays as well.
Man, good stuff, Rob, as always. Nice. I'll slow it around. Go ahead, Gary. You want to get your thoughts in there? I know I don't take too much time, but I'll get the knowledge, too. So what are your thoughts on what you did for the Cowboys?
Hey, that's fantastic. We got a lot of holes to fill, so that'll help. Hopefully they're listening to you, Rob.
Short and sweet.
Good enough.
You're all in.
You never know, Rob. You guys were talking about Chase Young, and then that kind of interesting how that happened, too. So maybe they are listening.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about that, Naj? Anything you want to comment on that for what Rob was talking about for the mock draft?
Yes, salute to Rob for putting in the work as usual, man. But, you know, we're in Lions season, and during Lions season, we got to understand this. We have decided when 40 time matters, and also when things like contested catch rate and things like that matters, like air yards and all the other new stuff that kind of analytics has come up with. And ultimately it comes down to we don't know. That's what football is, man. We don't know. I think Adunze is really good from what I've seen. And if he gets to the NFL and can't get open, dude, I am going to be shocked. But, yeah, man, salute to Rob and salute to the Cowboys for Rome Adunze. And salute to the Cowboys for having the offseason they needed to have. Not try to win the headline, not try to, you know, make the blockbuster deal just to get people happy. No, they're being astute. They're slowly working through things, and that's honestly what they needed because they're already a good team They just need minor adjustments, not, you know, a spending spree. And as far as Washington, man, come on, man. Y'all flying out to everybody, every quarterback that's eligible, y'all flying out to them? Man, come on, man. Y'all got all that money, don't know what to do with it right now. New owners.
Smoke screens. They're trying to give this illusion that they have this thing. Gary's shaking his head over here about the Cowboys, too, by the way. Not what you were saying about that. But he's like, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
You know,
Nod
is right about the Cowboys because the Cowboys have a lot of players of their own
to a point
that they have to sign. C.D. Lamb's going to be expecting a big contract coming up. Michael Parsons, they're going to have to pay him as well. So, I mean, and Diggs, the cornerback, another guy they're going to have to pay. So these are some guys that have been playing at an elite level that's going to be expecting some big-time money here pretty soon. And so you got to think about that for the future as well. And, you know, I think they did sign the linebacker Kendricks from, the Chargers. The Cowboys definitely need a little more thump at the linebacker position. So that was definitely a good pickup. But, yeah, I mean, every team doesn't have to make all of those moves in free agency. And, I mean, the Cowboys are going to need a little more help on the offensive line and get a little thicker in the middle on the defensive line, for sure. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I think the Nod's point, that was a real smart on the decision.
Yeah, I mean, good stuff, Rob. And I'm going to just comment on what everyone else said. Just we appreciate you taking the time to put all these mock drafts together. It's always good fodder for the show. It's always amazing, and hopefully you represent us whenever you get the invite for that other situation too, man. But just to really briefly talk about the Falcons, and this is interesting, right, because, you know, I think secretly they really do like Joe Alt, right? There may be some slight pushback because, you know, the Falcon fans do want an edge, if you will. There have been some rumors of us looking at Hassan Reddick from the Eagles and kind of working that out, but that's a whole other conversation. I still think you have to kind of maybe, you know, you're looking at double down if you're in that situation too. But if Joe Alt is there, I mean, that's a boon for the offensive line because Caleb McGarry is a great run blocker. Maybe not that great as a pass blocker. And then obviously you get an opportunity to replace, you know, Jake Matthews at some point if he gets a little long in the tooth. But it's definitely a good move, I would think. And love the cornerbacks. I think that's another thing. You know, if you get cornerback and safety, you kind of hit those two needs, and then everything else is kind of depth pieces. So, you know, good stuff. I know we signed a lot of wide receivers in free agency, you know, maybe make it one or two, you know, if there's a Ladd McConkey there or something like that. But I really can't be mad at that draft, Rob, as well, too. There's a lot of trades. I will say this for my Viking fans out there, y'all need to slow your roll. Trying to act like the tampering was that bad that you can get a first-round pick out of us. So let's just slow your roll on that. but again, I will
take
say
that first-round pick
that
from the Falcons NFL.
That is a bold shut the hell up. That is a bold move, Cotton. If you trade in the top six, right? That's kind of bold, right? Ironically, I think they'd be targeting us to kind of move up to that eighth position to get J.J. McCarthy. Because that will kind of shake up the draft, Rob, excuse me, because I think, and if you're Arizona, I still think they really love, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., even though he's not going to work out. So that's kind of because their cover for wide receivers are bare, right? They got rid of, you know, Marquise Brown, and they traded Rondo White. So there's a lot of, or Rondo Moore, I want to say, yeah. So I got to look at that. But anyway, there's, I think that's the only thing I may have a little pushback, Rob, but not because it's bad, just because I just think it's very, very interesting for that perspective too. So, I mean, you know, would they prefer an edge versus a wide receiver? I know it's a deep wide receiver draft. But, again, it just feels like that just seems like it's all linked right there, too. But I can't be mad at those moves that you put up for that, too, you know. So the Giants seem to be on a Daniel Jones. But are they lying? Who knows? They seem like they're committed to him at this juncture. And then, like I said, getting Neighbors and, you know, Adunze, like you said, Naj, we'll see how that plays out too, man. So it's going to be interesting right now.
Yeah, and I think
so. Why won't Marvin Harris Jr.? Why won't he? Why doesn't he want to, you know, show up and show these guys a skill set? What's going on with that?
Nothing to gain, everything to lose.
Yep. There you go. Yeah, that's the way he's looking at it.
It's kind of like we talk about quarterbacks whenever before, like you're not going to throw the combine, right? And we always want to be mad about, oh, you should, you know, let the competition, you know, come in. And most guys are like, why do I need to throw? Why am I throwing if wide receivers don't even know that I don't know? I'm going to save that for my pro day, you know, because they don't want anything to make them look bad, you know. So it's just an interesting. I don't know if it's kind of a situation where the divas or what, or their, you know, their scouts, excuse me, their agents have told them not to throw. So maybe a little bit of both from that perspective. I mean, you know, he doesn't really have anything to lose. He's definitely the first wide receiver, so it's like, I ain't got to work out. Look at the tape.
I wasn't sure if he was dealing with some sort of injury or Eddie's ailment or anything. I didn't know.
Gary, you better stop talking about that man for his father to show up on one of us, man. Like, don't bring that. Yeah, don't bring that around the show, man. His father. Let me be quiet.
Now, Marvin Harrison Sr., he always was the strict, straight professional, man. I mean, that guy was just a great wide receiver. I had a lot of respect for him, just the way he played the game opposite him and Peyton. But, you know, he comes from a great stock, as Naj intimated there, too. But, yeah, he doesn't really have to run. I mean, he's the first wide receiver going to be taken now. He's like, you know, I don't have to do anything. Yeah, so. But
great point, Dre. Yeah. His father was a great player and a law-abiding citizen. I agree.
We know where you're trying to go with this, Nod. We know where you're trying to go with this, Nod.
Don't roll up on us, Marvin. Please, man. Hey, we talked about what's happening in the offseason and the Jets, right? So, you know, we can always make jokes about the Jets, too. They're, like you said, Rob, earlier, they're doing, like, a lot of moves. I definitely think this is Robert Saleh's, you know, he's on the hot seat, right? So, you know, they better make some things happen right now, too. So, Aaron Rodgers or not, they're making moves. They just landed Mike Williams as well, Rob. Tell us your thoughts about what's happening. Like, this is kind of like make it or break it for them. I think this is Andre. I'm not putting it out there, but that's what I think. So, tell me about what's happening, your thoughts on the Jets, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, there's, obviously Mike Williams is coming off an injury, but, you know, he's a pretty productive wide receiver and healthy, and it's a one-year prove-it deal, right? You know, let's show us what you can do in this 1 year. You're giving Aaron Rodgers another weapon here. You got him some more offensive line help as well this year. So they have gone out and quietly had a pretty effective offseason. I just got to see if it's worked. You know, shout out to the Jets organization for giving Robert Saleh at least another year just to see what he can do with a good quarterback. So he hasn't had a good quarterback since he's been there, right? So they were like, hey, we want to wait and see how well he can do
Zach
as a head coach.
Great.
Oh, man.
Mike White.
Dre, you could have quarterbacked those teams better than those dudes.
That's crazy. Appreciate you giving me a
We all seen your flag football skills. So, I mean.
Hey, man, Jay was the quarterback. I was the wide receiver. I was out for supporting, though, man. We went down the field, man. We did some things, man. I was calling some great plays, man. Money play. Let's go.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean. Like I said, it's a one-year prove-it deal. I mean, he is coming off an injury. We don't know how that's going to work out. But I think he's had enough success in the league for to at least take a shot on him, right? It's a one-year deal, $15 million. Let's see how it works out. And you got to take those kind of chances if you want to win in this league. And that's what they're doing. I mean, they're trying to get another receiver to pair with the young, you know, talented receiver they already have from Ohio State, right? And we'll see what happens. And to me, I think they got one of the best running backs in the game too.
Brees Hall.
Absolutely.
Nice. Anything to add to that, Gary?
No, that's good. I don't want to piss Naj off.
that wasn't anger. That was fear. That was fear. I'm worried.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm worried for all of us.
He wants you to piss off Marvin Harrison Sr. It wasn't about Minaj.
I love it.
I think this is the beginning of Mike Williams signing 1 year deals for the rest of his career. He's a big body, deep ball receiver, but he's a body catch guy. Not really the guy you want as far as, like, production as a 1A, but as a big play guy, he can do it. The problem is, of course, the injury. So I think that's why he's, you know, I think he's going to see these one-year deals the rest of his career. And if he's productive, he can make a nice chunk of change, you know, on his way out before he leaves. But, yeah, that should work with Aaron. If Aaron is healthy, I can see that working. And I want you guys on the coach, man. I don't know if he can coach or not. He hasn't had the tools to really succeed, so I don't know if Salah's good or not.
He's made some questionable moves right now, man. Again, we talk about Nathaniel Hackett and, you know, some things like that, and they went all in on Aaron Rodgers, and that kind of blew up in their face, and they didn't have a backup plan, kind of similar to what happened here in Atlanta. So that'll get you fired if you don't get that figured out very, very quickly. I'm curious, too. I wonder if Odell Beckham Jr. will make a run to play with Aaron Rodgers again with the Jets, man. I'm curious about that, too. But, you know, again, just a kind of a side situation, too, that I would say.
Speaking of receivers, all he's got left is one-year deal.
Yeah, for real, right? He's just living off his reputation. We're going to quickly talk about some free agency moves, you know, the top moves, if you will. And I'll let you guys kind of tackle that because I know we want to get to a couple topics too. So, Rob, you want to kind of jump on that too real quick?
Yeah. We already talked about one. I mean, even though he's not expected to be the starter day one, I mean, I'm going with the Steelers acquiring Justin Fields as number one. For what they only gave up, a sixth-round pick, possibly a fourth-round at best, for a guy that's still talented and get with the right coach, I'm going to put the Steelers for what they did as number one. Even though it was technically a trade, but the number one move during the free agency period. And, you know, I'm going to give a shout-out to you guys, Falcons, here, acquiring Kirk Cousins as well. You know, there's some question marks, but if you want to be successful, sometimes you got to take a shot at these kind of these moves here. And so them acquiring Kirk Cousins, who's arguably the best free agent quarterback available on the market, was a good pickup for them. And I think a quietly great pickup. I'm giving a shout-out to the Chiefs. I mean, their wide receiver room almost cost them from winning the Super Bowl last year. And for them going out and getting Hollywood Brown, I think that was a great get for the Chiefs. A talented player that I think still hadn't quite reached his total potential yet, too. And teaming up with Pat Mahomes, I think, could be really scary for that team. And number four, I got Danielle Hunter from Houston, Texas.
I was going to say that pick.
He was one of the top two or three pass rushers in the league last year. And for the Houston to really get him to lead the Vikings, how the Vikings let them go, I have no idea. I think letting him go was worse than letting Kirk Cousins go. And Houston getting him was phenomenal. And the last one, quite a bit of running back moves. I know Nas touched on that last week. But I'm going to give the Derrick Henry sign to the Ravens at number five. Even though he's 30 years old, I think he's perfect for that type of ground and pound offense, change of pace with Lamar Jackson, you know, what they have going on as well. I like that. I just like that team. I just think he fits the mold of what they like to do on the football field. So I'm going to go with Derrick Henry as number five.
Well, you know, that Kirk Cousins deal I think is fantastic. That's really my first one. I think he's going to do well. They got a good offensive line, good team around him. I think he'll do well. One of the others is didn't like Philadelphia getting Bryce Huff. I didn't like that. Commanders, they made a lot of moves too. you mentioned Devel Hunter. That was another one of mine. What do you got, Naj?
I guess Ladarius Sneed, just because he's staying on the franchise tag, I would say that counts to a certain degree because that KC defense was so good. The Texans getting Danielle Hunter, they needed another pass rusher. They're on the cusp of being really, really good. So, you know, that helps a lot. Of course, Saquon in Philly. I think Swift left a lot of yards on the field. And he's not a game breaker. He's fast, but he's not a game breaker. But if we get a healthy Saquon in that Philly offense, We might see some things there, man. So yeah, I'll go with that one. And I guess that's all I got. I can't think of anybody else.
Yeah. I tell you, I'm still concerned
about
the way the Eagles finished last season. And, I mean, even though they made the playoffs, I thought they were one of the worst teams in the NFL at the end of the season last year. I know they've made some moves. They've gotten tough. They got Barkley. Obviously, they've lost Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox and things of that nature. The secondary was getting beat up left and right toward the end of the season. I know a lot of people are giving them praise, but I'm still a little concerned about that team. And obviously, I don't think Jalen Hurts played that well toward the end of the year, too. Maybe he was hurt. You know, we'll see. But, I mean, they do have some weapons, to Nod's point. When you look at their receiver room, A.J. Brown, and now getting Saquon Barkley. You still got Dallas Goedert at the tight end position. I mean, they do have some talent there, but I'm just real concerned about the way they finished the season last year. I wonder how much they're going to be able to turn it around. Now, they got some new coordinators now, you know, so we'll have to see. They got Vic Fangio running the defense now. They got him from Miami. So we'll see how that goes for him as well.
I'm just going to pick it. Yeah, interesting. Same interesting. I'm just happy that for some reason that the Eagles, I really thought, and this is for you, Naj, I thought the Eagles were going to pull off a trade in getting Justin Fields, and that would have been the most hurtful thing that happened in my life. They were kind of sniffing around that because I was like, damn it, that would have been them to kind of make that happen. They did, in fact, get Kenny Pickett, and we talk about how that dynamic changed from, you know, once Russell comes in and he felt like he didn't have an opportunity, then that just kind of shifted everything. So he becomes the backup quarterback. They get rid of the god-awful Marcus Mariota. I don't know how that dude's still getting checks because Marcus goes to the Commanders. But again, good move, Rob. You're talking about a lot of the changes with that. You know, so if anything, if Jalen goes down, they at least have somebody they can kind of develop just in case, too. So Eagles are itch, but, you know, I feel like they're trying to protect Jalen. They keep getting, you know, they get some more running backs to add to that room, obviously, from, you know, DeAndre Swift and Mike Sanders and all the whole thing, too. So we'll see, you know, how they play for sure. They kind of went to, like, they kind of crash landed at the end there, but we'll see how that plays out.
Five games. You know, just
yeah, that's a huge crash and burn. That was like
if it would have been just a couple of games, right? But I mean, it wasn't. It was just like two different teams,
yeah.
Completely different teams.
Yeah, they looked bad.
I hope they continue that way.
Then Arizona went there and beat them by 10 points in Philly. Some of those games they were losing by 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
That secondary was bad. They tried to fix it by getting what's his name, Bayard from Tennessee. He was really bad, and he's not going to be there next year. But ultimately, man, Jalen was banged up. Yeah, he was hurt. Like, dude, go look at that second half of the season. Just look at rushing yards and rushing attempts. Most of his rushing attempts were that Philly special push, whatever you want to call that nonsense, which they had to do way more often than they should have, which kind of should have been an indicator. But remember, they started off 7-0, then they had these debilitating injuries, and we saw what we saw. So I don't know, man. I think they can kind of put that back together. But either way, Sirianni's on the clock.
He is on the clock.
Oh, yeah.
All two. We know that. Mm-hmm. And every team wants their coach gone, right, Rob? Every fan base is like, get us again. It's always they always want.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Jim Harbaugh, you should be fired. What, you just took him to the – like, yeah, I had one bad game. Come on, guys. You can't be that bad. 50 minutes left in the show. I'm curious, Rob, how do you think Jaden Daniels will perform in the NFL? I know you're an LSU guy. You kind of get some conflicting reports. Is he kind of slight? You know, because Robert Griffin was kind of slight, too, and, you know, that's kind of – I'm hearing about that, too. But dynamic kid, but, you know, how will he perform, you think? And it's always tough. No one has a crystal ball. What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, you know, he took some tough licks, you know, even at LSU, and he bounced up and kept playing. I know Dallas Turner for the Alabama knocked him out of the game, gave him concussion. You know, one time I remember him coming out of a game, and that game was like neck and neck, 28-28. And when he went out, that was all the road for LSU. Alabama won the game 42-28. But I personally think he's going to need to learn how to slide. But it's interesting, and I can't remember the term. I have to go back and read this. But the LSU athletic trainers, they said something about his body type. It helps him to prevent – if something with his body type that helps him to prevent injuries. And I can't remember what the terminology that they used on it. But
I look at
a lot of fish and bits. But I'm still concerned about that. Learn how to slide, little fella. Get down on the ground, live to see another
little
day.
Fella.
But how he how I think he's going to prepare in the NFL, I think he's going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. I think – I actually think he can be a better version of Lamar Jackson. He's got that kind of running ability, man. He is fast. He just separates from people when he gets out in the open field. But I think as far as throwing the deep ball, he's got better accuracy at this point in his career versus when Lamar had at this point in his career. He's really improved his short passing game. You really saw him from his junior year to senior year make another huge leap. The last time we saw a quarterback make this kind of a huge leap from their junior to senior year was Joe Burrow. And not saying he's Joe Burrow, but he made a huge leap this past year with his pocket presence, his footwork in the pocket, throwing a football. And I'm not just bragging on because he went to LSU, but all you got to do is watch the tape.
Yeah.
But he, I think at this stage in his career, he's a better version of Lamar Jackson.
Wow. They keep saying slender, Rob. I got to figure out there's something that's a little bit different for two. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you've seen him, you've watched him more than we have, and he did carry that team. If they had somewhat of a defense, it would be another different conversation. But there may be some concerns with him, too. But like you said, you know, obviously, you know, he was in the toughest division. So it looks like if all goes well, Washington is trying to – we thought it was Drake May, but now it looks like it's Washington that may be on him as well too, man. So I don't know.
I think Drake May is still in play with North Carolina. I mean, I think he's still in play for Washington. I think they're going to have a tough decision between Jay Daniels and Drake May.
Yeah.
I will go with Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, Daniels can be a game changer. He could be the best quarterback in this class. But he also could be out of the league and holding the clipboard in 3 years. So there's a possibility for both. So those extremes kind of let you know, like, if you're going to take a gamble, this is the guy to gamble with. Yeah, he does need to put on a little weight because, like, ultimately, you don't see guys take cartoon Wile E. Coyote-type hits like he does all of the time without that being a concern. Like it's not a thing of, he runs too much and he's getting hit. It's a thing of when he gets hit, it looks so ridiculous, like he's made of rubber or something. So, yeah, he's definitely going to put on a little weight. But, yeah, man, the tools are there, the skill is there, and if we're playing in these new NFL spread offenses, I mean, this is the prototype.
Well, yeah, that, you know, man, those hits are going to be even more – and they're going to be harder. We'll see how he does.
Good stuff. All right, gentlemen, we are in officially March Madness, so we got 10 minutes here. So I want to spend the last part of this talking about the tournament stuff. And Gary, we're going to kind of lead on you, my guy. If you have any, you know, predictions or upset targets or anything you want to talk about, don't feel any pressure, my guy. But now is the time to kind of switch gears here. You know, we have our 12th man bracket. Rob, I filled in mine. It's interesting if you look at a lot of the predictions as far as, you know, I think Houston led. UConn was number one, I think, for the odds, followed by Houston. I think I was looking at that too, which is interesting to see what they had as far as your brackets. And Obama did his bracket too, which Charles Barkley had some fun kind of like, obviously, just destroying that bracket, but anything you want to kind of talk about for this one, Gary, your thoughts on this or what, sir?
You know what, I've really been out of touch with it. I made some notes for tonight, but I think if we're going to talk about it, probably Rob would be the one that would be best to fill in on this. Or you, Andre.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think for me, we've got some interesting picks. Like I told you, there was and Nod, this is great too. We talked about this because there's some first round upsets that we could talk about. Like I've looked at, you know, McNeese is, and obviously they're going against, you know, Gonzaga, who's always kind of like they've been known as a giant killer. But you know, what team is going to show up, right? So there's a couple interesting situations for that. James Madison, you know, again versus you know, Wisconsin. They were 31-3, right? But, you know, and they even beat Michigan State. But, you know, is Wisconsin the team, right? So there's a couple situations right there. You know, there's a couple watching like Morehead State and Illinois. You know, there's some interesting situations with that. And there's Riley Mannix. That's kind of like, you know, that's the guy that you're kind of targeting from there. And then, you know, those are just a couple. Iowa State, they actually were the one team that knocked off Houston, which Houston has, you know, they've been playing amazingly. They had that 11-game win streak, and they get knocked out in the Big Ten championship. So is Iowa State that team, right? So, Rob, I know, you know, we can kind of talk about some situations here. I know Big East wasn't happy because they only had, like, three tournaments in the dance – or three teams in the dance. But, you know, we talked about Purdue and Zach Edey. You know, what's going to happen with them? You know, are they dominant as a team, right, to kind of take it, man? So there's a lot of different storylines we can kind of talk about as well. So, Rob, wrap this up.
Yeah.
And Nasha as well.
We talk about first round upsets, and you hit there. You had two of mine too. McNeese State obviously would have been a school in Louisiana. I paid close attention to them. Will Wade, I definitely think they got a shot to upset Gonzaga. This is not your Gonzaga team of being a number one seed or number two seed like the last 10 years or so. So I think McNeese State's got a strong chance to upset them in the first round. And you mentioned James Madison over Wisconsin. James Madison is a deep ball club, and they are physical too. And so they're going to bring a physical brand of basketball on that court against Wisconsin. I like them as well. And two of them, I believe Colorado just won tonight. And if they did, I like them over Florida. I mean, Cody Williams could be a top five pick in the NBA draft, small forward from Colorado. And he missed a lot of time this year. And now he's healthy. They won the Pac-12 tournament. They're playing better. He's an elite NBA prospect. So I like them over Florida in the next round. And from Gary neck of the woods, or former neck of the woods, I like Oregon over South Carolina. And I like the way that Oregon finished the season in the Pac-12 tournament as well. South Carolina came out of nowhere this year. And shout out to South Carolina. They had the men's and the women's coach of the year in the SEC this year too. And I like Oregon. So those are four upsets that I'm looking at possibly in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Yeah, Zach Edey, Purdue has had a history of getting eliminated in the first or second round here in the last 5 years or so. Every year you think there's not going to be as many upsets in the tournament. And every year, the tournament proves us wrong. It's always upset. And you don't know where to predict them. It's so hard. Every year, this tournament has some crazy upsets, some crazy things happen. It's not a best 4 out of 7 series like the NBA. It's a 40-minute matchup, and anything crazy, you know, can happen in these games. But I'm going to go out on the limb. I think Purdue is prepared to at least make it to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8 and possibly even the Final Four. I mean, Zach Edey, of course, is the best big man in college basketball, 7'4", and he's got a bunch of guys on the perimeter around him that can shoot the basketball. And so I think this is the year that they finally advance. And you mentioned it, the Big East, definitely UConn and Marquette. And who's the third team that got in from the Big East? They had three really good teams.
Creighton.
They have three teams. Even though they only got three teams that made the tournament, I think all three of those teams have a chance to make it to the Elite Eight. And, of course, UConn's got a chance to win it all. So Creighton is really good. They can really shoot the basketball. Marquette's got two NBA prospects on that team. Tyler Collect, if he's healthy, he's a point guard that can go in the first round of the draft. And UConn, of course, got a couple first rounds. Obviously, St. John's didn't make it in. Villanova didn't make it in. Seton Hall didn't make it
crazy.
In. All schools that were very disappointed from not getting in. I thought for sure they was going to put Slick Rick in the tournament. Rick Pitino.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, I thought it was that white suit, too.
That's right.
I thought
the Steelers
were going to put him in the tournament. Yeah.
He wasn't real happy with that.
No, he wasn't.
That's funny.
I read an article about that today.
That's funny. Naj, what you got to add to that, my guy?
I think UConn is the team to beat, though, to win it all.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so the first thing is I have the smallest violin on earth for the Big East, and I'm going to play that violin for them. So hopefully, you know, they can feel a little better. Yeah, too bad, too sad. You got three teams. Good luck. So I'm going to take on the spirit of Charlie Weiss and tell y'all right now that I have a strategic advantage over everybody else filling out a bracket in America. What is that advantage? Secretaries and head of HRs at every company that you work at, you go and you look at their bracket. I don't care if they're picking teams by colors, by mascots, or whatever it
That's
is. You copy all of them. And that's how you win. But if you think you're going to study analytics and KenPom stats and you watch this guy play and you know this and you know, we know nothing. Chief
that's
off
true.
Secretary, there's the advice.
That is some great advice. KenPom, I love
it. I know Dick Houston, that's what they said. He hadn't been paying attention. I said, those are usually people who win this tournament. Because the experts never win it.
That's true.
Somebody that said, I just picked that team because I like their colors.
Those are the ones who
win the tournament.
That was, Robbie brought back memories of, whenever Butler used to always be, like, in the final, like, right, they used to always have a good team, right? And the one team, you know, he's like, he kept picking Butler because he was like, he liked Butler. He's like, but, ha. And that team ended up going like that kid like made those picks based upon liking Butler because it was Bud in there. That's crazy, man. So,
right.
Good start, Naj. And I will say I and Rob in three of my four brackets I had Purdue going to the Final Four. So I hope they don't like do a bracket buster and get beat out of the gate.
I got
them so
in my Final
scary.
Four
but,
too.
So I've got one where I've got three brackets. I got one where UConn winning, one where Houston's winning, one where North Carolina's winning. Shout out to you. So I just don't know, man. So so it's one of those where I've got, and I may invite you, man. We got this huge tournament, man. This guy from NCC, man, he's been doing this for like 20 years. He's got like the winner gets like $3,000, something crazy, because everyone just puts in all these. He's got like almost like 400 brackets, something crazy, man. But you just never know. So that's the fun part of it for sure.
The good thing is the North Carolina players, they're old enough to drink, and they could probably rent a car. That's an old team right there, brother.
Well, my
they're hungry, my
R.J. Davis. But
they're
if
hungry.
You look at right now, these teams winning with all freshmen is the day of the past. You know, you look at college basketball, teams that are winning now are teams that have these veterans on their team, and maybe a couple of these young players on their team. So if you look at UConn, all of these teams that come to Houston, I mean, those dudes might be 35 years old in Houston, man. They're small sheds. I mean, he's been in college for 15 years, man.
That's true, mate.
Hey, they're slow learners.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it's the thing of the past. You win it with all freshmen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all hear the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We're going to be back. We're going to take next week off. We're going to be back in 2 weeks from tonight. 2 weeks from tonight at 11 Eastern Time. We want to hear from Burlington, Vermont. Vermont Catamount. I need y'all to upset Duke in this first round tournament. So shout out to Burlington. Burlington, that's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time for you all in Vermont. Please, please, please upset the Duke Blue Devils. Vermont Catamount, we want to hear from y'all. And in the Central Time Zone, it's going to be 10 p.m. Central. I always give a shout-out to Chicago. You know, what's next? No Jalen Fields, Justin Fields. You got Caleb. Is he the right one for the job? Let's wait and see. We want to hear from y'all in a few weeks as well. And shout-out to the state of Montana. I don't even know what city Montana State in, but they got the best name in college basketball. Robert Ford III. Shout out to Montana. That's Mountain Time Zone for you guys in Montana. We want to hear from y'all in 2 weeks, 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, wherever city Montana State is in. We want to hear from y'all in a couple of weeks. And on the West
all
Coast.
All seven of y'all.
And
yeah,
on the West
that's
Coast.
Right.
We want to hear from Oakland. That's what we're going to shout out on the West Coast tonight. We want to hear from Oakland. It's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for y'all in 2 weeks. The Warriors have moved to San Francisco. The A's may be moving to Vegas. The Raiders have already moved to Vegas. We don't know where Old Town 357 lives at anymore. MC Hammer left Oakland.
Get loose.
Too short and left Oakland. Who's left in Oakland? We want to hear from Oakland in a few weeks.
God.
That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time out on the West Coast. There you have it, people.
Shout out to Oakland, Gary Payton bringing it back, and Juan Anderson, man, bringing it back, man. Brian Shaw, a couple players from
Gary
Oakland,
Payton, Dame
Lillard,
NBA,
man. Yeah. That's cracking me up. But good stuff. Anything last thing you want to say, Gary, before we wrap this thing up?
Hey, thanks for saving me on that, Rob. I appreciate that.
What's that?
On your picks for the tournament. Appreciate that.
No problem.
And then I'm going to say, Rob, there's a couple topics that we can definitely, again, there's no way to get through all 29 of those, but there's a couple topics we can talk about. We know baseball is around the corner here. We're about a week and a couple days and some change from getting baseball season started. So we can talk about some predictions. It's funny about you know what I'm talking about. And then Iowa, you know, obviously Caden Proctor was funny. Good, Knox. I'll let you do that. Go ahead, my guy.
I'm sorry. I was too thirsty. I just want to say, if we're going to talk baseball, just let me get a minute on Ohtani. But please continue. Don't let me interrupt.
Oh, you talking about his translator that got caught? You talking about that one?
Pete Rose is hot right now. Pete Rose is so mad. Look, dude. This man is telling us that his translator had access to his account and is making all of these bets, but it wasn't show. Bruh, this is one of the biggest sports scandals we've seen in a long time, and I can't wait to see how this plays out. But the idea that your translator has direct access to your account and is spending, shout out to The Rock, millions and millions on gambling, sir.
Yeah.
Are we just supposed to accept this? Man, get Pete Rose on the phone.
Somebody's got to have a fall guy, man. You got to have a fall guy, man. That's your job is to take a – yeah, man, I'll hook you up later on, man. Yeah, you got to have a fall guy, man. But that I saw that pop where they fight. You know, that was kind of like there's something about that too. I'm surprised that's not a bigger story right now. And it was just kind of like a quick blur because we're so focused on March Madness and free agency, if you will. But I agree with you, Naj. I'm kind of curious what they're going to do about that once the dust settles. That's huge. That is huge. But
my
I was
boy Shohei
say,
likes a parlay.
Yes.
Oh, man.
The parlay. That's hilarious. I'm going to make that.
I do have my finals prediction, NBA finals prediction. I've got two of them.
I've
got Denver versus Boston. The other one, I got Minnesota versus Milwaukee.
Okay.
Ooh, man,
okay.
Anthony Edwards had a night, man. That was ridiculous, man, what he did to John Collins.
John Collins, like, hurt his pride. His pride is hurt. Everything
he
is
got
hurt.
He's on the injury report for a bruised ego.
Oh, man.
That was bad.
That was terrible. That was terrible.
Just for the Hawks on Austin Reeves. Who was that, Jalen? Who was that on the Hawks? Jalen Johnson,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah, sir. All in his face, too. Man, that was – yeah, man. If you talk too much, John, Blog Talk will cut us off. But – I just want to make the last little comment about really quickly about Caden Proctor. He was upset about you know, obviously the offensive tackle from Alabama. Then he transferred back to Iowa because he's actually from Iowa. So he was talking about, you know, he wasn't happy with the stuff with Nick Saban. And then, you know, we know why he transferred back. He wanted to get season tickets to see Caitlin Clark, you know, and just kind of go back and have some fun. And then he's like, I'm totally joking. But then he realized that. Wasn't that great in Iowa, and he's like, you know what, I'm going back to Alabama.
That man went to one party and said, "Nah, man, I can't live like this."
That's exactly what I was like. Nah, it's not what I signed up for, man. You know, and I need to go back. No, but that is funny, man.
Yeah.
How he kind of like transferred back and forth, man. He's like, I'm in. You know what?
Didn't even play a game for Iowa. He went to Iowa. Didn't even play a game for him. He transferred back to Alabama. That's funny.
Like,
you mentioned Caitlin Clark, and I know that she wasn't on the topic. Maybe she should have been on the topic, but. She's the biggest name in college basketball, men or women. I mean, it's going to. She is the biggest name in college basketball right now. So it's going to be interesting when you look at the women's bracket. Iowa's in the same region with UCLA and LSU, and LSU is the team that beat Iowa in the national championship game last year. But they're in the same region this year. Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting. They have a real tough bracket. I mean, obviously South Carolina is undefeated and they're a team to beat. But, you know, Iowa's got a real tough road to get back to the Final Four. So they didn't make it easy for Caitlin.
Yeah, they're trying to protect us for the WNBA draft. You know, just go ahead and take some time off, if you will. Just double-team Caitlin and you know, try to stop her 5-on-4 and see what she can do.
Man, she can shoot it from half court, man. She like Steph Curry, man. She can hit it from anywhere out there,
yeah.
Man. Incredible.
Just don't let her get the ball, man. That's how you shut that down, man. We'll see how that plays out, man. You know, play keep away. That's what I would do.
Yeah. You have to make somebody else beat you.
That's what you got to do, man. If there's one, man, who else does Iowa have on their squad, man? No one even knows who else. It's on the squad, but I can't.
No, I know the rest of the team.
She ain't got no help, does she? It's just her, right? Is it pretty much her? She got any help, man, at this juncture?
A bunch of girls with a lot of letters on the back of their jersey for their last name. That's all you need.
There it is.
Some plotting Iowa.
Wow, Iowa, man. That's hilarious, man. So, anyway. We're going to just wrap this up. And like, you know, Rob said, we will be off next week. But we'll be back in 2 weeks and kind of kick it back too. So it's going to be a fun time. Let's keep this going for sure. But, Naj, appreciate you checking in. Appreciate the text, all that fun stuff. Gary, appreciate what you're doing, man. Hope you had a great, great birthday last week, man. We'll keep you in our thoughts for the next one too, as always. Naj, we don't know your birthday yet too, man. So if you want to put that in the chat with me, man, give the shout out, man. That's always a fun thing. To let us know as well, man, because you know, I want to hear more about your mystery sources over there, man. So it's all good, man.
Can I reveal my sources? I will go to Gitmo before I reveal my sources, sir.
I love it. All right, gentlemen,
man.
Have a great evening, and we will see you for sure, man. So keep the text lines open, man. I know you're going to keep it going, man. We'll talk soon.
Good night, fellas.
Be safe.
Good night,
fellas. Have a good
same. Peace.
Have a good couple weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, you likewise.